I'm just thankful today that we serve a risen Savior. And so today we're actually going to look at a little bit about Palm Sunday, but not actually in detail of the event that you see in the Gospels. So I would challenge you today to spend some time in the Gospels, kind of reading through when Jesus made his way into town riding on a donkey, the symbolisms of what that donkey represents. And matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and spoil it for you. It represents a king coming in peace. And that's something that is really unique when you look at it. The Bible says when Jesus comes back in his return, he'll be riding on a horse, which is somebody coming for war. All right. And we hear about Armageddon and all that other stuff and that. But when he came in to Jerusalem that day before the cross, the week before, just a few days before, actually, he rode a donkey, which was symbolizing he came for peace. And aren't you thankful today that Jesus, when he came, and he gave his life, he came for peace. He came to create a opportunity and a way for you and I to be made right with God, to have a relationship with God, and to be forgiven for all the things that we've done and just counted righteous, even though we shouldn't be. And we serve an amazing God. And so as you read through that, don't just read the story. Look at everything that he did. What does the palm branch represent that they were throwing in front of them? What were they trying to accomplish when Jesus came in? So let me just go ahead and jumpstart your Bible studies this week, give you something to dive into that you would find really unique. There was a lot of cool things that took place during that week, that time leading up to Jesus's death. And there's so many different things that were accomplished and symbolized in it. So I would challenge you just to grab your Bibles, grab your families later, and just dive in to Palm Sunday and see what it was all about, all right? So Jesus came with one intention. The crowd had a different intention, but God's ultimate plan was accomplished. And today you and I are able to stand children of God because of what he did. Okay, so do me a favor real quick so that people know that we're live. Go ahead and hit that share button, get it out there. That way, those that maybe don't follow the channel or maybe don't have the alerts turned on can see that we have actually gone live and they can join us today. Again, we're not trying to capitalize on the moment, but I don't want to leave anybody out. We will also release this on YouTube as we have every service that we've done live so that you can share it with people that don't have Facebook or Facebook Live. We have a half of our congregation. It blew my mind when we asked them months ago, said, how many of you don't even have Facebook? It was more than half. And so we realized that there needs to be another avenue. So I appreciate our media team and DJ and Jordan Kate. They've worked hard to make sure that that's up there. DJ is ripping down everything that we put on Facebook and making it available there as well. So if you want to stay up to date with the unique things that are going on, we will put some links up at the end. Text the number Stay Connected to 97000 and you'll get the text message updates, and we'll actually shoot that link to you from YouTube so that you don't even have to copy it. You can just take it from that text message and send it out. So we'll put some announcements up at the end. Today's an exciting day. So as soon as we're done here, we're egging some houses, and only by the people that signed up. I know we put that out there this week. This was supposed to be our annual Easter egg hunt at our church. But because of the uniqueness of our situation, we're bringing the eggs out with a no contact. We won't be ringing your doorbell or anything like that. You'll just simply get a text message. But of course, it was by the families that had signed up by Wednesday night. And I apologize if you didn't get a chance to do that. We'll have some other unique opportunities coming up for you in just a little bit. Okay, so I'm just going to pray. We're going to dive into today's sermon, and we're going to learn and we're going to grow. Okay, so let's just pray with me if you would. God, we just come to you right now and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for all that you've given us and all that you do. I pray that as we are here and in this time of service and in this time of fellowship, that you would remove any distraction from our living rooms, from our vehicles, wherever we are, from right here where I stand, God, and just give us an ability to connect with you, to learn of you, and to grow with you. God, this is such a unique time. And what I love about this time is it helps us to rely on you. We can't lean on our own understanding and our own wisdom right now. There's no plan that we can create because we are very limited in what we're allowed to do. But God, you are the ultimate creator, and you have something you want to accomplish through this. I am totally confident that you are working on the behalf of your people all across the world. And God, I'm even confident that you're working on behalf of those that have not chosen you yet. And so my heart's desire is to see you and experience you, but also to show you so that others can see you, and those that don't know you be introduced to you and find hope and peace during this time. Thank you for being constant and present, and I pray that your word is heard right now. May it be your truth and nobody else's, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to take you to a couple different passages of scripture. Psalm 95 is where we're going to start. And I'm actually going to backtrack a little bit to something we talked about on Wednesday. Okay. So I'm not going to hit the sermon we talked about, but we were talking about how sheep follow the shepherd and Jesus' story in John chapter number 10, where he said, "My sheep hear my voice. They know me. And they follow me." He says, "I know them too." And so he's going back and forth with this group of people that at the beginning of the chapter is accusing him of being demonic. In the middle of the chapter, they're saying, "Okay, quit keeping us in suspense. If you truly are the Messiah, tell us plainly." In other words, prove it. And so Jesus comes into that conversation where he's saying, "Hey, my sheep know me. I know them. They follow me." And then he goes into this beautiful, beautiful thing where he says, "I give them everlasting life. I'm giving them a kingdom. I'm giving them this promise. And my Father holds them. And my Father is greater than everybody." And he says, "And my Father who gave them to me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." So here's what Jesus is saying. I give them confidence. I give them a future. I give them a hope. I give them some security of knowing what's to come. Even if they don't know what's going on right now, they know what to look forward to. And he's saying, so I'm giving them all these things. He said, I'm giving them the kingdom of God. I'm giving them the possession of relationship with an almighty God. I'm giving them this truth and this promise that I love them and care for them, and I'm not going to let them go. And it's a beautiful topic. I mean, it's almost like a Hallmark card. He's simply standing there saying, I love them so much that I'm going to give them everything. And not just in a short term or a conditional relationship. I'm going to give them everything long term and for eternity. It's eternal. And they're never going to have a moment where they're not with me. You would think that in that moment, people would be like, oh, wow, he loves me. But that's not how they responded. Matter of fact, if you go to John chapter 10 and you read this story, I'm right around in verses 20 through 25, somewhere around there. And all of a sudden, the Bible says they pick up rocks and wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. Here he is saying, I'm going to give you everything. And they're like, I'm going to kill you. You know, because they didn't like the fact that he was claiming to be the Son of God. They didn't like the fact that he was claiming to be something that they were not. You know, I noticed in our life and in our world, and I was talking with Wade this week, and it's really been something that's resonating on my mind. We live in a generation, and especially right now in our world, you can see it everywhere, that truly lacks appreciation. We lack gratitude and we lack thankfulness. We lack the ability for some reason. We have programmed our minds to be more drawn towards the negative or more drawn towards tearing others down than we've been drawn to building others up. And that's got to change. I would say this whether I was a Democrat or Republican. So let me put that out there first. I'm not trying to be political, but what I have learned is no matter what Jesus did, they still crucified him. He raised the dead. He caused the blind to see. He fed the hungry. He let the lame that could not walk walk again. And nothing was good enough. No matter how big the miracle, it was never good enough for them to look and say, "Yeah, you're the Messiah. Yeah, you're God. Yeah, we believe." No, they always wanted more. It was never enough. And I see that today in the way that we're treating even our governing officials. And there again, I said I would say this, whether Democrat or Republican, but I think it needs to be said, no matter what a governor does, no matter what a mayor does, no matter what our hospitals are doing and our doctors are doing, and no matter what the police officer does, no matter what our president does, you see this trend where it's never enough. When he acts, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. When he doesn't act, well, I would have done it sooner. We always have a way to throw complaint. And Jesus standing there saying, hey, I want to give you everlasting life. I want to give you everlasting love. And they're picking up their rock to throw. Now, you may not be picking up a rock trying to stone somebody and kill them like they were in this passage. But how often are we using our words to tear down the person who's literally trying to do everything they possibly know how to do? We're looking at the Son of God who had a Holy Spirit power in his life that was so connected to God that he had power to just speak and things take place. He had power to not even be in the same room as a dead person and see that person raised to life. The same power to be in a different city, in a different town, and see somebody healed because somebody's asking him to heal and he's saying, hey, your faith, go home. They're healed. By the time you get there, and that dude on the way home, his servants come running out and say, you're never going to guess what happened. And yeah, I know what happened. Jesus happened. That's what happened. And so here's somebody who's the Son of God with all power, all knowledge, a connection, a relationship that's totally pure, that was doing miracles and they were rejecting them. And yet I look around our society and I look around our homes and I look around our community and we're looking at people who are limited. They have the Holy Spirit. But you know, what we have seen in our society is we have dumbed down the Holy Spirit. We have really hindered his power and ability. We really don't believe that he can do what he says he can do, or that he's the same God that has always been. We're actually in a generation that the Holy Spirit is the most powerful abilities and could do stuff through our technologies and through our abilities and capabilities that have never been before. But yet the church doesn't see this Holy Spirit carrying out the truth that Jesus said to his disciples, that you will do greater things than I have done, because the Holy Spirit's going to come, the Comforter's going to come, and he's going to possess your life. And because of that possession in your life, you've seen me do miracles, but man, it ain't nothing like what I'm going to see you do. But we don't see that happening in our churches. And so as I analyze that, we did a conference with our youth group on the power of the Holy Spirit called Power Up just a month or so ago. And as I was analyzing that, looking at that, I was like, God, why are we so hindered? And there's just multiple reasons. Number one, we don't believe it's possible. And the Bible says anything is possible to a person who believes. And without belief, it's not possible. Without effort, it's not possible. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Doesn't matter what you believe. As a matter of fact, you don't even believe it if you haven't done anything with it. It's like having a car that you believe is the best car. Well, you truly don't believe it's the best car unless you buy it, drive it, or do something with it. If it's just sitting there rotten, it's nothing more than an eyesore or an ornament or something that's just taking up space. And so in our lives, we've got a lot of things that we like to say that we believe and like to say that we possess, but we don't use it. And so he says, faith without works is dead. So number one, we don't believe it. Number two, we don't use it. And number three, as a result, we don't see the results of it. I'm going to tell you now, like in our lives today, I believe that one of the reasons why we're not seeing the Holy Spirit work is we don't acknowledge, we don't appreciate, we don't worship, we don't praise. I mean, we have all these ideas that we set out that says, well, if I do this, I go to church, and if I give my tithes, and if I'm responsible to check in and check out like I'm supposed to with my faith, then the Holy Spirit's going to be powerful in my life. But I have learned this, and you see this all throughout Scripture, that praise truly activates power. Praise truly activates presence, and it activates somebody else to action. Now, let's examine praise, and let's put this out there before we get into our Scripture today. Praise is the proclamation. It's the making known a content of a heart, a content of a mindset. And so a lot of times we hear praise and we think we got to sing. Now, singing is a form of praise, but singing can also be a form of entertainment. And a lot of people, even in our churches, use singing as entertainment instead of actual praise. Praise is actually a belief in a content of the heart being made known publicly. And so when I praise somebody, it's like me standing here saying, I believe that our staff, and I'm not being biased here, Pastor David, Wade Green, Tanya Collins, and Pastor Dennis, even Pastor Steve, and people that aren't full-time paid, Whitney Nichols, our team lead. When I say they have done an incredible job through this time of chaos, they become busier somehow. It's crazy, but awesome. But they have done a phenomenal job. That's me praising. That's what I believe in my heart, what I believe in my mind being made known to the multitudes. That's praise. And so our praise is from a content of a heart, not a raised hand, even though I'm all about raising my hand and letting people know, hey, I'm a child of God and I love this. Or what I do when I'm singing and a song is moving me, I oftentimes close my eyes because it's not about the people around me. And I oftentimes lift my hands, you know, because God says he desires people. He's searching for people to raise their holy hands towards heaven and praise. And so I often feel like I'm reaching right towards God saying, God, if I could just lay my hands on your knees right now at your throne, I just want to proclaim your goodness. You are so good to me. And if we truly think about it, God has been good. And so in our society, what we're seeing is we're seeing this trend to try to rush to the fault. Let me find the fault of somebody. Let me find the thing I disagree with that the person that I don't like is doing. And let me point that out. And you know what we're doing? We're praising, but we're not praising God. We're praising the enemy. We're actually, I mean, can I tell you this? When we complain and we tear down others and we publicly try to shame others, and that's kind of Satan worship. I mean, we're involved in and doing what the devil wants accomplished in our world. I mean, he would love for us to hate each other because a house divided cannot stand. He would love for us to tear each other down because, you know, if I'm standing here attacking other churches, then I'm doing his work. I'm keeping people from going to church. I'm validating every person who's used the excuse, well, I don't want to go to church because church is this. No. You don't want to go to church because you don't want to be godly. That's the reason. Let's be real. But we want to find somebody to blame. And so in the thing, we see this happening to where we get this moment in our minds to where we think we're actually accomplishing good by tearing somebody down. When the Bible says in Ephesians, and the Bible says all throughout the word, let's just put it out there, that let every word of your mouth and every meditation of your heart be pleasing to the God. It actually tells us that every word of our mouths should be good to the use of edifying, which is building up another believer, building up somebody else. I have found this in my life to be true through my studies in the Bible, that praise actually activates God. Now, God even says this, I don't want your praise if your heart ain't right, proving that praise comes from a pure heart. He says, if you're standing at the altar and you're giving a sacrifice, you're praising me, I want, and you realize that something's not right in your heart with somebody else, leave it. I don't want it. Go back and fix the relationship. Matter of fact, it would do us some good to realize that God is more interested in relationships than he is interested in any other parts of our lives. God wants us to be right in relationships, right with each other, right with the world around us, right with the people around us, more than he wants us to stand in our churches with our hands held high. And now we're being given this opportunity where we cannot even stand in our churches. But you know what we can do? We can show appreciation. We can give honor. Now, honor is totally different. Honor is something that actually takes an action behind it. We actually have to put some effort forward. I know there's one thing that we've done partnering with Tanya Collins and Quilts of Valor. I love it. Matter of fact, if you're in this podcast, you're at another church or you're in a ministry or you, just if you have a club or something like that, Quilts of Valor, what they do is they make a quilt, and it's a patriotic quilt, that they will give to every retired, even I think active soldier that has given part of their lives to our freedoms and protecting our rights to be able to even do this. And so we've seen it, we've done it multiple times already to where they'll wrap this quilt around someone. You know what that is? That's giving honor. They'll give a certificate. They'll give a different plaque or something that goes with it, a card that just explains what it is, so that this person who has made some sacrifice in their life for my freedom can realize that that mattered to me and that that matters to us. And that's showing honor. Matter of fact, children, listen to me. In Ephesians 6, the Bible tells us to honor and obey. Honor is a form of respect. Respect is something that you actively do. It's not something you say, it's something you do. It's a lifestyle. And so when I praise, I'm making known. When I honor, I'm showing. All right? And so you see the difference. So let's go to Psalm real quick, if you would. Psalm chapter number 95. It says, come, let us sing to the Lord. There it is. It does tell us to sing. It says, let us joyfully or shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. I like this. Verse number 3. For the Lord is a great God. Oh, he's great. The Lord is a great God. Can you just stop with me and just say that right there vocally in front of your children, with your spouse, with anybody that's around you? The Lord is a great God. Man, he is good. He's the only God, by the way, the only one that's sovereign, meaning there's no other God. All right. So in there, it says this. It says a great king above all, small g, all gods, all man-made items, all things that we try to look at and we try to worship. And God is so much greater and God is so much better than those things. And he is a great God. And it says he's above all kings. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The seas belong to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker, for he is our God. I hope you can say that today. And if you can't say that he is your God, God. The only way that you can proclaim that is to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. And if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, would you stop right now where you are? Would you confess that you have a great need of a Savior, that Jesus is the Son of God, that you believe that He is risen from the dead? Not to me, not to the people around you. That confession needs to be made known to God. But the Bible says that we have to openly declare that Jesus is Lord. So make your confession to God. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I believe He's the Son of God. But then make it known. Whether you're putting it right here in a comment on this video, whether you're sending us a message later, whether you're just going to shoot your own little video later and say, Jesus is now the Lord of my life. I have given Him the complete control. He wants to be more than a Savior, by the way. The Bible doesn't say openly declare He's your Savior, meaning He bailed you out, which He's going to do that, by the way. It says openly declare that He's your Lord, meaning you've given Him control. You've given Him the rights to your life. You've given Him the management of your life. And so if you cannot say that He is my God, that He is my God, the only way you can do that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but through me. He says, I am the door. Anybody that tries to go to God a different way is nothing but a thief and a robber, He says. So there is no need for an altar at your church. There is no need for a sinner's prayer that I can lead you in. There needs to be a content of the heart made known to God, and then a profession of the lips made known to others. And so if you are accepting Jesus Christ, I would love it if you would just put in those comment sections, I am proud to say that I have just now made Jesus the Lord of my life. What a celebration. That's a little freebie there. Matter of fact, that's the best freebie that's ever been given to the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would never perish but have everlasting life. So there you go. Take up His offer, okay? And so here it goes. It says, for He is our God. We are the people. I like it. He watches over. Ah, thank God that He watches over me. Would you just right now lift a praise in your living room? Thank you, God, for in a pandemic of this coronavirus going everywhere, that You're watching over me, that You're caring for me, that You have not forgotten me. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows everything, knows everywhere you are, knows exactly what you're doing. Some of you have no clue where I'm standing right now, but God does. God knows exactly where I am. And you know what? God's chose to go with me here. God's chose to stand with me here, to love me here, to be present in my life here. God is just as present with me in fellowship today, standing in the middle of His creation, than He would be if I was standing on the stage surrounded by thousands. God is faithful. And so today, let's worship His faithfulness and let's worship Him for who He is. He says this. It says the flock is under His care. I love that. And it says this, if only we would listen to His voice today. If only. You say, well, I'm scared. If only you would listen to God today. Well, I don't know what to do. If only you would listen to God today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Lean not on your own understanding. In all you do, in everything you do, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. You say, well, I don't know what to do about tomorrow. Well, I'll tell you exactly what to do about tomorrow. Stop thinking about tomorrow. Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow, the Bible says. Today has enough troubles of its own. God only gave you the mercy to get through today. All right, He renewed His mercies in your bank account of mercy that you would need to get through today. God's grace is going to get you through today, right here, right now. You say, well, what about tomorrow? Well, He's got enough mercy for that, and He's got enough grace for that. He'll deposit that into your account later. But right now, you're trying to use mercy and grace that hasn't even been deposited. You need to stand exactly where you are saying, okay, God, You're the God of today. You're the God of tomorrow. If You're the God of yesterday, and I can believe in yesterday, then I'm going to trust You today. And I ain't going to worry about tomorrow because You're the God that holds that. So here's what we see in Psalm chapter number 95. It tells us in the first couple of verses, verses 1 and 2, that we should worship. Then it tells us in verses 3 through 5 why we should worship. Comes back to verse number 6, tells us to bow down and worship again. And then in verses 7, it tells us why we should do that. All right? And so I like this. He's my God. He's watching over me. He's the shepherd that's caring for His flock. If you want to know more about that, check out Wednesday's video where we talked about the shepherd. I used an illustration from the farmer behind my house walking with his cows and how God spoke to me in a mighty way through that. But then it says this, he wants you to listen. And so I felt very impelled today and compelled. I mean, it pierced me and then it drew me. Impelled by the word. Drawn by the word, impelled, compelled. And here's what he told me. We need to raise up some appreciation. We need people that it becomes their lifestyle and their habit to give praise away. It needs to be known that God is good, that He is merciful, that He is wonderful. Matter of fact, we find in Joshua chapter number 5, where the children of Israel have crossed the Jordan River and they're about to go towards Jericho, that the Bible says that once they cross the Jordan, in the very next chapter after they cross Jordan, you find this verse that it says that word went out to all the kings of Canaan about what God had done for Israel as they crossed that Jordan River. And it says, that word that went out terrified them. That every nation was now scared of the children of Israel. Why? Because they were powerful? No. Because they did something wonderful? No, they didn't. God did. God's the one that dried the Jordan. You know what happened? Praise went out, and praise always terrifies the enemy. Praise always hinders the enemy. You know what I found? We feel like we're going to get more accomplished in our world by nagging somebody than we'll ever get by praising somebody, and that's not even true. You'll even get more from God through praise than you'll ever get through complaint. You'll activate God more powerfully through your worship than you will ever activate Him through your complaining and negativity. God is not looking to raise a generation of negative Nancys. God is looking to raise a generation of powerful, powerful people who believe that God is going to do what He needs to do no matter what is going on around them. And so today, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter how you are, we've got to praise the Lord. And at some point, we have got to stop tearing down others, tearing down things that are going on around us, tearing down our president, tearing down Congress, tearing down our governor, tearing down our mayor, and say they're inconveniencing my life. No, they're trying to save your life. They're trying to save the lives of people around you. And isn't it amazing that here we are in a country that's trying to save our lives, and we are just like the people that's standing in front of Jesus in John 10. Saying, well, I'm going to tear you apart for what you're trying to do for me. God help us that we are not using our news feeds, and God help us that we are not using our phone calls to tear down what's going on around us. There's a lot that's happening and decisions being made that I don't understand, but it is not for me to understand. It's for me to obey and to be faithful to the Lord and what He's called me to do in the way that I treat and handle others. And so today I have learned this. If our God can be activated through our praise and through our worship, if the enemy is terrified through our praise and through our worship, number one, we got to realize that it is a weapon that God has given us. Praise is not, it's an opportunity, yes, to be in a mindset that brings peace and comfort. But number two, it's a weapon that God has given us to drive back the enemy. That even before you show up, if the praise of God is on your lips, the enemy cannot stand it, because the enemy, Satan himself, warred against heaven because he wanted the praise that God was getting around his throne. And because he wanted that praise, he turned a third of the angels against God and lost the war. And the Bible says there's been many wars since, because all Satan wants is praise. So don't be a devil worshiper by complaining and negative and all that other junk. Be a Jesus worshiper by finding ways to build each other up. Hebrews 10, we keep talking about it. Find ways to encourage each other, to motivate each other to acts of love. And I'm going to say this now. Your nagging and your complaint will never motivate anybody to do anything, but your praise will activate power. If our praise activates the power of God and motivates God, and God is the God who never grows weary, and God is the God who never grows tired, and yet it rallies Him, then how much more would our praise do if we would just start thanking our president, thanking our governor, thanking our Congress, thanking the people around us? How much greater would it be if we would start praising our husband, our wife, saying thank you and showing appreciation for what they have done instead of tearing down all the things that they haven't done? Now, by the way, for those of you sitting there saying, yeah, I ain't doing anything until she praises me. No, that's not what God tells you to do. God tells you to do unto others as you would have them do to you, not sit and wait and pout on somebody to do something. Let's just put it this way. Well, God pours out more on us because we are praising Him. All right, you ready? He also pours out His mercy and grace on us even when we have forsaken Him. That while we were sinners, Christ died. That on a cross, as the soldiers are gambling over His clothes, people are mocking Him and throwing all their feces and nastiness on Him and ridiculing Him, he cries, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And so when you sit there and say, well, if they would praise me, I would do more. No. That shows a problem with your character. You should do whether or not you're getting the praise or not, because that's what God does, and that's what God commands us to do, is to do unto others as we would want them to do unto us, not do to others what you see them doing to you. No, no, no. It's what you want. And so we've got to get out of this mindset of, well, if you will, then I will. No, we need to say, God, I will even if nobody else will. I'll do it. If nobody else will do it, I'm going to praise you and I'm going to praise others. I'm going to serve you and I'm going to serve others. If nobody else will lift your name high, then I'll lift your name high. But thank God, you ain't the only one. You might sit there and say, well, I'm the only one not doing these things. We had a prophet in the Bible do the same thing. And God says, you fool, there's thousands just like you. But you know, in our day and time, there are millions that are willing to raise the hands up to heaven and say, God is good. Matter of fact, one of my pastor friends from the Philippines messaged me this morning. It's nighttime there. It's after 10 p.m. there, making sure that he's logged in. And Pastor Roger, I love you dearly. I know you're here. But I want you to understand something. Like, I'm standing here on one side of the world. He's standing on the other side of the world doing the same thing, praising God and trying to find ways to motivate others to good works and to motivate them to love and to do things that are out of their love and out of their kindness. Matter of fact, can I tell you this? Anything we do out of fear will not last. If you scare your kids into obedience, eventually they won't be scared of you anymore. If you are trying to keep somebody in love with you because you're scaring them that you're going to leave, eventually they'll outgrow that fear. You know, understand this, that fear will motivate, but only for so long. And then eventually everybody wants to break free of bondage, of fear, and of slavery. So nobody wants to be a servant to someone who is lording over them. And that's what I love about Jesus. He didn't come to lord over us, although he is the Lord. He came to serve us and through that raised us up. So understand this, we have got to find ways to get out and to serve others. We have got to find ways to get out and to do the things that God has called us to do. And what we're trying to do is control the environment around us. We're trying to control everybody else. But I'm going to tell you now, you're going to get frustrated if you're trying to control everything that's going on around you and everyone around you, because the only one you can literally control is you, and that's self-discipline. And so stop saying, well, nobody else is. No, say, I will. Stop being part of the problem and be part of the solution. That's what we're telling everybody all the time. Grace Community Church is not part of the problem. We are not meeting, even next week for Easter. We're not meeting. We're going to find a unique way to have Easter together. I'm going to ask you to find some type of bread and grape juice, and let's do communion together through our live stream next week. But we're going to celebrate Jesus Christ. But I am not going to stand at the end of the day and say, we made people sick. I'm going to stand at the end of the day and say, we obeyed God. We did what we could do. If they went out and did their own thing, then that's on them. But we're not going to play into the problem. We're going to be part of the solution. And you say, well, how do I be part of the solution? You obey, you pray, you follow through. You do what God tells you to do. So understand that we need to get to a generation where we appreciate one another, to where we determine right here today that we're going to be grateful, that we're going to be thankful. All right? Like, you may not have all the freedoms that you're used to, but even now, with some of your freedoms taken, you're still part and a citizen of the freest world in the nation, in the country, in the whole world. You have more freedom than most people do. I read an article the other day where in the Philippines, they're saying, hey, if somebody's in the streets and they start causing you problems, kill them. Kill them. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm glad they're not doing that. All right. So understand that we have got this freedom that's been given to us that's so abundant that when it's minutely taken away, we complain. When you have to stand in line at Home Depot because they're only letting so many people in a time, or at Walmart because they're only letting so many people in at a time, you know what? A lot of people are going to complain. I can't believe this. They're trying to protect you. Come on. How messed up is your mind that if you can't see that people are trying to care for you? And I believe that's what we do with God a lot. That God works on our behalf. God works in ways that we cannot understand. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. Things that we cannot even do. Things that we cannot even see. God is doing for us and God is planning out for us. And you know what we do in the process? We complain. I mean, think about when your children are in the backseat of your car and you're on a trip and they keep saying that statement. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Or even greater, make sure you go to the bathroom before we get in the car, because once we get in the car, we're going to at least go an hour without stopping, and 5 minutes in, they got to pee. I mean, you know what it's like. You're about to go crazy in the front seat because they're sitting there saying, let's go. Can we get there? Can we get there? Yeah. How much longer? Well, you know, it's just as long as it was minus 5 minutes ago when you asked me in the first place. Most of the time we get frustrated, and I've even had my parents tell me, if you ask me one more time, how many of you remember this? Don't make me pull this van over. If I have to come back there, you know, all these things start pouring out because of our frustration. And I think about it all the time. How many times has God taken us on a journey? God doesn't, listen, let's drop a bomb here. You ready? God is not the God that just wants a scene of your life. God wants an entire movie. God doesn't want to just say, okay, you're going to have one good moment. No, God wants to give you an entire story. And so God doesn't want to give you an act. God wants to give you a journey. And so God's not just thinking about what's going to make you better here. He's going to think about what's going to make you better all the way down the road. And so God's going to say, hey, I don't want to just give you all the joy right now. I want to give you joy that's eternal, joy that grows, joy that goes with you. And so God is working and doing, and there's certain parts of the journey that you don't like. I talk to hikers often, Bobby and others that love to hike. And I know that they like to go up to these views because some of the best views you'll ever get are going to be on the top of the mountains. But in order to get to the top of the mountains, you got to make some long climbs. And sometimes the climb is rough. But isn't it amazing that once you get to the peak of that mountain, you see that view, you forget about all the struggle. But while you're struggling, you start saying things like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can make it. I mean, there's been times that I'm in a distance running, and I share this all the time with Pastor Steve. We're running this great distance, and we're almost there, and I am just beat. I am done. I don't want to run anymore. And all of a sudden, he starts quoting, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm like, shut up, bro. Don't bring the Bible into this, because now I got to keep running. And the next thing you know, you cross that line of that distance that you wanted to go, and your heart just immediately floods with joy because you made it. And sometimes we get in a point of our lives that we don't like, but all we can see is what's right around us there. And the view isn't always pretty where you are, but God is trying to take you to the spectacular. God is trying to take you to something you've never seen before, never imagined before. And I promise you, when you get there, you will forget about this moment. You will forget about the moment of complaint. And so don't complain in the process. Trust God. Praise in the process, saying, okay, God, I know the view isn't pretty where I am, but I know if it's this hard here, you've got to be taking me somewhere great. And so I see churches all across America, all across the world, that right now our view is not pretty. I saw an article released on Fox News just yesterday where the Catholic Church released how hard this is on them economically and all these things during this time and how bad these are and all these other things. And I'm not tearing down them or anything like that. But what I kept thinking is, man, God's been showing himself here. And I ain't worried about the finances. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. If everybody starts keeping their money in their wallet, God's got the ability to put a coin in a fish's mouth. Maybe we just need to go fishing. I don't know. But God's got a unique way of providing for our lives. And I know that one day when we get back together, one day when we're allowed to meet in our churches again, one day when we're allowed to celebrate and we're allowed to jam and we're allowed to worship together, we will look back on this journey. And when we see what God actually did, we will enjoy the view of what was accomplished through the struggles that we are going through now. And I want you to understand, and I want you to grab this, if we cannot praise him in the struggle, there's a good chance that we won't be present to praise him when he comes through. I have seen many people start a journey and quit. Start a journey and don't like the view and they give up. But then I've also seen the people that endured, and at the end of their lives, they say, this was worth it. I want to be, this was worth it. I want God to look at me and say, well done. I want to be like a Paul laying on my deathbed saying, I fought. I did. It was a fight. I finished. It was a course. I had to run it. I kept my faith, though. Hey, I kept my faith. The whole time I believed that God was faithful. The whole time I believed that God was true. The whole time I believed that God is able. And I'm going to say this right now. There will be a day in our world where corona is no longer a threat. Generation after generation has faced disease and plague. And generation after generation has buried thousands. Smallpox. You see it all the way back, the Spanish flu, all these things that went through our society that just killed others. Do you realize the chicken pox used to be a killer? I mean, the measles, you used to, if you got that as a kid, it was over. But those are things you don't even worry about today. Those are the things that you don't even think about today. Why? There's been vaccines, there's been cures created that make those things not a threat. We don't talk about smallpox. And there will come a day we don't talk about corona. There will come a day that we don't talk about all that's going on except for the history of it. But the one thing we will still be talking about is Jesus. He is still going to be God, just as powerful, still going to be loving, still going to be moving, still going to be active, still going to be powerful, still going to be working. Corona is doing its work now, but it has had its day, and soon that day will be over. But Jesus will always have his day because he will rule and reign forever. And there will be a day that every knee bows and every tongue confess he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. But I'm going to tell you this now. It's a whole lot better in the day that every knee bows if you've already bowed here. And if we in the journey will bow the knee, then we will stand and conquer and bow in victory instead of in fear and in brokenness. And so what happens is people quit and they wish they would have. Some people finish and they don't regret that they did. Who are you going to be? Are you going to be one that gives up right here? Are you going to be one that gives out right here? Are you going to be one that turns away right here? Are you going to be one that stands at the end of life saying, I am thankful that even in the midst of chaos, that things that were difficult and things that were hard, they molded me, they made me, they shaped me. They were an act in the story, but they weren't the final scene. They were a part of the journey, but they weren't the final view. They were the landscape, but they were not the masterpiece. And so as we get to our journeys and our points of life that we need to be, may we be able to stand and say, in this time, God is good, so that when we stand rejoicing on the other side, we can celebrate all that we saw God do. Write this down. If you're taking notes, write it down. Complaint keeps you and me. Negativity keeps you and me from learning the lessons and seeing the beauty of what God is doing right here, right now. God is doing great things. Some of you are so complaining towards your spouses that you don't really see how great they are. You complain about your kids. God help us. I see a lot of people saying, I can't wait for my kids to go back to school. I wish my kids never had to go back. I wish all of a sudden they were just geniuses and never had to go back to school. I mean, I enjoy knowing they're safe. I enjoy knowing what they're exposed to. I enjoy knowing that the people that they're around right now love them more than anything in the world, although they have great teachers. Lincoln has a wonderful teacher. Miss Lauderdale is amazing. He has a wonderful speech therapist. Corey Ray is awesome. I love them dearly. But you know what? He has been in the arms of grandma and grandpa and mom and dad and uncle and uncle's girlfriend. And he has had all these moments to where he's loved. My daughter's getting poured into. You know what I know right now is this has been the only time in their lives since Lincoln started school that I know completely what he has been exposed to in a day. That's a beautiful thing. And you know what? If he's been exposed to something negative, that's on me. All right? That's on Jordan. That's on the people that are putting that out in front of him. And so you know what? Those of you that are complaining about having your kids would be the same ones that are going to be complaining about not having time with your kids later. So what if today became a memory instead of an obligation? What if today was set up to be something that they would remember forever as one of the greatest days they ever had with you instead of it being a day filled of complaint and yelling and screaming at each other? God help us that we get to a point in our lives that we celebrate what God is doing where we are. And so I'm going to ask you and call you as a church to some praise and to some appreciation, to show some honor. As we said before, if praise, honor, respect, if appreciation and gratitude are at the core of what God desires for you, come into my courts with thanksgiving, sing a song, let bow down your knees and worship. If it activates a holy, righteous God who never grows weary, how much more could it do for your husband or your wife who's going to get tired today? For our president who's no doubt exhausted? For our Congress members who, whether they're bickering or not, are still working around the clock trying to figure things out? How much more would our kids get from us today if we would go in and just praise them? My daughter is a praise junkie. If one person starts clapping and saying, "Yay, Canaan," she immediately looks at everybody else in the room. She'll go one person by one person until every person in the room is clapping for her. And when everybody's clapping, she'll clap back or she'll smile, she'll do something cute. It's almost as if she's like, okay, if he can do it, if she can do it, you can do it. You know, and so she'll look around, she'll look at mom, mom's, yay. She'll look at Grammy, yay. And then she'll look at dad, yay. And if somebody's not paying attention, she'll give you a stare down. You're going to praise. She loves it. But you know what I like? is I've learned that through praising her, she'll take medicines that she normally wouldn't take. She'll eat foods that she normally wouldn't eat. She'll actually learn things and mimic things. We've got this little trick now that's going on with me and Kanan to where if I ask her a do you question, she answers by shaking her head. And like most people in my life, she likes to tell me no. And so some questions I'll ask that I like. Do you ever want to talk to boys? No. All right, good. You know, except for the one time I asked her that. And that was the first time ever she went yes. The first time ever with me. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. That's the question you're going to answer yes? Ah, man, I'm going to have to kill every boy in America. But no, I'm just kidding. Not serious. I know I'm on a live stream. Probably shouldn't have said that. But anyway, I realized that there's some magical moments that are coming out in her life if we would just give her attention and praise. I mean, hey, what could God do in your life right now if you would just give him attention and praise? What would happen in your wife's life? What would happen in your husband's life? What would happen in your kid's life if you would just give him attention and praise and just say, hey, thank you for being you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for dinner. Thank you for making me something to drink. Or thank you for how hard you work to provide for our family and to give us these opportunities. But you know what? Can I tell you this? I firmly believe that as we give gratitude to others, we are ultimately through them giving thanks to God. The Bible says, whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. That's what Jesus, you visited me in jail. You fed me when I was hungry. You cared for me when I was sick. And they looked at him and said, we've never done that stuff for you. And he said, every time you did it to one of these, you did it to me. And so you say, well, I praise God when I listen to my praise and worship music. Can I tell you what? You're not truly praising God if you can raise your hand in a song, but you can tear down everybody else. No. It's through others that we serve God best. You want to hug God? Hug somebody else. You want to say, well, not right now, but when we can do it. You know, when you want to be a blessing to God, bless somebody else. You want to care for God? Care for somebody else. You want to praise God? Give praise to someone else for the things that God has used them to do in your life. You don't have to look at them and say, I praise you. But you can look at them and say, I thank God for you. Bring God into the praise. Man, I thank God that he gave me a wife like you, a husband like you. I thank God that he gave me kids like you. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. What would happen to your boss other than a heart attack if you went in and said, I thank God that I have a boss like you. Even though you're hard on us sometimes, even though you require us to do the things that we don't want to do, I truly do thank God for somebody who gives me a place to work, gives me income, provides for my family. Hey, let's just start thanking God. And I promise our mindsets will change. I promise our view of life will change. Our view of others will change. To God be the glory. Isn't that what we said Wednesday night? Forever and ever, amen. And if that is truly the desire of your heart, then we'll see it in the way that you praise others. We'll see it in the way that you appreciate others. Thank you, God, for loving us like you do. Thank you, God, for being with us in this part of our journey. Just as much as you are going to be with us in this part of our journey. And hey, can we go a little deeper? Aren't you thankful that he joined this part of your journey? I mean, the part that you don't want nobody to know about. The part that when you think about it, breaks your heart. The part that when you look at it, you wonder how you could ever be that person. Libby Brooks, somebody I love dearly, founder of Church with No Walls, she said it this way: when I look at who I used to be, I don't recognize that person anymore. Hey, you know why? Because God didn't join you where you are. God joined you where you were. You have got to where you are because of who God is. And so if we're going to praise him here, let's stop for a moment and praise him for what he was here. Anybody else in the room say, thank you, God, for loving me in my mess, in my ugliness, in my sinfulness, in my worldliness, in my times that I lived as if you didn't exist, in my times that I lived for my own selfish desires and for the world around me. Thank you, God, for that being the while I was a sinner, while I was at my worst, you loved me even then. Thank you, God, for loving me now. And thank you, God, for the love you have for me that I have yet to experience. Thank you, God, for the waters of your love that I've yet to swim in, the waters of your grace that I've yet to experience. Thank you, God, for what you've done in my life. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in my life. And thank you, God, for the things that you're doing that I haven't even imagined. the things that you have planned that I couldn't even comprehend. The picture, the masterpiece for my life that you have painted that I could not even for a moment dream be possible. I mean, we have a lot to praise for. But I'm going to challenge you today to not be the praise and worshipers like he found on Palm Sunday. The ones that Jesus comes riding in and holy, holy, he's amazing, he's awesome. Let's make him the king. Let's take him straight to the throne. Do what we want you to do, like John 10. Then tell us plainly, show it, prove it. If you're him, then do what I want you to do. Be my rescue. Be what I need you to be. Don't be that kind of worshiper, because you know what happens? That kind of worshiper is the same worshiper that will crucify him just a few days later. That kind of worshiper is the worshiper that'll nail him to a cross, forsake him, laugh at him, mock him, beat him, abuse him. That's the kind of worshiper that is. The worshiper that says, God, I will worship you circumstantially based on how you respond to what I want. No, you won't last. I mean, your joy won't last. Your happiness won't last. Your contentment won't last. Nothing will last that way. No, be the worshiper that says, I will worship you and follow you, even if it means I have to stand at a cross and watch you die, even if it means I have the world coming against me, accusing me of being yours, even if I have to die in a like manner, even if my head gets taken from my body, even if I get crucified upside down, I will worship you in spirit, meaning, hey, in what's going on in my life right now, and in truth, meaning I will worship based on the beliefs that I have according to your word, not based on what everybody else tells me I should be. I will worship you even if it costs me everything, knowing that everything this world has offered me doesn't compare to anything that you have in store for me. So God, I will worship you knowing that even if I'm broke in this world, I am rich in your love and in your grace and in your presence and in your power and in your mercy. And for that, I will lift you high. Hey, your marriage might not be where you want it to be right now. It might not be the way that you would have it be. But thank God you're not lonely. And thank God you're not like the ones that are searching and seeking. Your kids may not be behaving the way you want them to behave, but thank God you're not the parent mourning the loss of a loved one. Thank God you're not the one that's going around and having to visit a tomb marker or a graveyard to visit your loved one. Thank God you have this presence. Thank God you have this opportunity. And I'm going to tell you, this opportunity, that marriage, that relationship with your family, with your friends, is going to be what you decide to make it. And I'll promise you, it will be on fire if you would bring some praise and appreciation in. If you would show some honor and respect. And so right now, I would ask you just to take a moment. Let's do some confession first. I had to do this and still have to do this daily. God, I am sorry for not praising you enough, for not worshiping you based on who you are, but instead at times in my life, worshiping you based on where I am and what's going on around me. God, forgive me, because you are good. Even when things are not good, and you are holy and righteous and faithful and true. And so God, forgive me for the times of my life that I have not worshiped and praised you like I should based on your character, but instead worshiped and praised you based on my lack of character. And help me, God, to be a person who appreciates more your goodness, who appreciates more all the things that you are doing for us on a consistent daily basis. Now, God, I ask that you would take me and make me a person of appreciation in my own home, in my relationships with people around me, in my workplaces, in the highways and the hedges, on the mountains and in the valleys. May I be someone who is filled with the joy of the Lord and as a result, quick to focus on the things that are excellent and worthy of praise that we are commanded to fix our thoughts on by Paul in Philippians 4. God, help me to... Sorry, I had a phone call. I'm being a praiser, not a complainer. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So that when Jesus stands in John 10 and says, I'll give you everlasting life, my Father which gave you to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck you out of my Father's hands. May it not be our response to reach down and pick up a stone and say, that's not what I want. I want to kill you. May it be our response to say, not my will, yours be done. I will praise you. Even though I don't understand, I will praise you. See, in John 10, they wanted to stone the shepherd. They wanted to kill the shepherd, arrest the shepherd, simply because they couldn't understand his ways. How many times have we abandoned a godly lifestyle, abandoned God truth, because we simply couldn't understand what God is doing around us? So with that being said, I want to say this, and with a happy heart, not a broken heart. Yes, I want to see you, but I will celebrate the fact that we cannot get together next week. I will celebrate the fact that all of our plans did not work out because God has a different plan. Do I understand his plan? No. Do I like that we can't get together today, or like that I can't spend the next 14 hours of my day hanging around with church people? No. Do I like the fact that Easter is going to have an empty building? No, I don't like it. I don't understand it, but I trust it. I trust that God has a reason, and I trust that God is going to do something incredible this Easter through the unique opportunities that he has provided for us in this chaotic time of our lives. And so I will stay obedient, even though it's hard. I will trust, even though I want to do something different. I will say, okay, God, you have given it upon the wisdom of the ones in charge to tell us not to gather in groups of 10 or greater. So what we'll do is we'll gather online by the hundreds, by the thousands. I know right now we have somewhere in the hundreds that are tuning in. And that's homes. That's not people. Somebody asked me, don't we have more than that in our church? And I was like, yeah, what you don't understand is each one of those numbers represents an average of 4 people. And so when you do that, you got, like, right now live about 600 people, 700 people tuning in. By the time it's done, there'll be others that wake up and watch the video later. There's people that are in New Jersey that have reached out to me. Connecticut, I've gotten Texas. I've seen somebody from multiple people from Illinois, Kentucky, North Carolina, all around. Georgia, they're tuning in. People that we would never reach are getting reached. By the end of last week's video, 6,000 plus. I can't remember all the playthroughs. There's been just an outpouring of opportunity in this time. And so as I stand here saying I don't understand what God's doing right now, I will say this. God never asked me to be able to understand him. He just called me to lean on him, and he's doing the same for you. God never commanded that we figure it out. God always commanded that we lean and trust in the one who has it figured out. And I promise you, child of God, person listening, if you are panicked because you don't know what to do, run to the God who knows exactly what is going on. Trust in his word. Build your life upon him. Let's have a day of praise and celebration that even in the midst of this chaos, there's still all this beauty that God has put around us.